We have been talking here about being lights in the world, or shining as lights in the world. And we've based our lessons thus far, and this will be the sixth in our series, by the way, and the Lord willing, there will be one more. We have based our thoughts on Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. And we have learned that in order to shine as lights in the world, the Apostle Paul has given us direction, he's given us hope, and he's given us warning. He has given us direction to work out our own salvation. And he makes this the first thing in order here of the things that we have. And he says we're to work it out with fear and trembling. And then, of course, he gives us the hope. It is God who works in you, as we discussed in the preceding lessons. And the warning last week was, do all things without complaining and disputing. We had somewhat to say about that last week. But then, we come down to thinking about the ultimate goal of these admonitions. It is not that we simply look at these and think, well, those are nice and those are wonderful. But there's a point in these. And that point is that we are to become children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. We are to be blameless, he says here in verse 15 of Philippians 2, and harmless, children of God without fault. This, without a doubt, would cause us to shine as lights in the world, living as children of God in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. And by the way, that was a crooked and perverse generation then, and guess what? It is now too. So this applies equally to us today, isn't it? But children of God then will shine if they are being positively impacted by God's direction or God's word. Now notice here that it is not enough to just be children of God. Not enough. We must be, according to what Paul says here, without fault. And if we are without fault, we will truly be blameless and harmless. But someone says, well, what exactly does he mean here by blameless and harmless? Well, this is with reference to how the world sees us as professed children of God. We've talked somewhat about that in previous lessons in various settings. But in answer to this question about what this means, I would like for us to begin by looking at the word blameless. Let's talk about this word. What does it mean to be blameless? Well, the Greek word that is translated blameless means deserving no censure, free from fault or defect. Someone says, well, that sounds like perfect to me. Do you mean that we have to be absolutely without sin, never sin, perfect? No, that wouldn't be it. That doesn't make any sense, does it? And you know why? Because in 1 John 1 and verse 8, we are told, now remember this, John was writing to Christians here, and he said, if we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves, are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, by saying you have no sin, you just sinned. Because you told a lie. We know better than that, don't we? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, in the same context, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His Word is not in us. So we recognize that we bear the guilt of sin. There's no difference, or no difference between us on this. I think it's very clear that all sin, no question about it. But what does he mean by blameless? Well, I think that this might be explained in context with what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Listen to it carefully. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. How are we to be blameless then? By living in such a way that we have no outstanding faults that are clearly evident to others. Blameless means that we cannot be rightfully blamed. And if we have been forgiven of sin, who can blame us? God doesn't. So how can man, right? I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind. But let's look at why it is so important to be blameless. Nothing, and I mean this, I believe, without any qualification whatsoever. Nothing hinders our efforts to influence others like inconsistency and hypocrisy. I really believe this is true. If we have glaring faults that are evident to others, they're not very likely to take our message seriously, especially if we are trying to use the word to point out their faults. They're not going to be very interested, are they? Indeed. So, how do we become blameless then? Well, I might make it real simple for you and say, practice what you preach. By the way, that refers to more than just preachers. Because your life is preaching something. Your life is preaching something, whether you know it or not. And what you need to do is be sure you practice what you preach. Now, in context here of our reading in Philippians, this would include working out our own salvation without a doubt, wouldn't it? No question about that. That would include working out our own salvation. How can we do this? Well, we're going to go back to the context of 1 John. And in 1 John, we learn down in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did I say a minute ago? If we've been forgiven of sin, God doesn't blame us. And man has no right to blame us. So what are we? Blameless. Now, does this require us to wait until the saints are assembled at an assembly of a local church? No. This is something that we can do anytime. You can do it sitting at your job. You can do it walking down the middle of the mall. When you recognize that you're guilty of sin, you can confess that to God and ask for His forgiveness anytime. I've said this before in other contexts, and I'll say it again. There is no reason for Christians to go around with sin on their back. There's no reason for it. We have the ability, through the blood of Jesus Christ, which you'll read about there in 1 John 1 also, we have the ability, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to have sin forgiven. Anytime. Even the moment after we commit it. And so there is no reason for a Christian to be carrying around the burden of sin. We can be blameless. You see that? When we endeavor to teach others, we need to remember to do it in the spirit of gentleness, with patience and humility. I think this is the essence of what we read in Galatians 6 and 1. If any man is overtaken, or if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And again, Paul's second epistle to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may be able to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see, when we are busy concentrating on keeping ourselves pure, we sang about that, didn't we? I want to commend Edward for a good choice of songs this morning. I told him what the lesson was about. He came, stepped right up to the task. We want to concentrate on keeping ourselves pure before God. And when we do this and we see a brother who has sinned, we want to do everything we possibly can to help restore that brother. And if that brother or sister has the proper attitude, they will be grateful for us doing that. They'll be grateful. I am so glad that you've pointed this out, because I obviously this has slipped past me. And I'm so glad that you've helped me. But they don't always do that, because they don't have the proper frame of mind. Sometimes they get mad at you. But that doesn't relieve us from the responsibility of doing what the Scriptures teach at all. If we do not maintain this attitude or spirit of gentleness and patience and humility, those who oppose, as the inspiration calls them here, those who oppose will quickly start to find fault with our attitude and fault with our character. And they will use that as justification in their mind to reject the message. We need to be careful about that. We need to be careful. But to be without fault, it is also necessary that we be considered by others as harmless. This is an interesting word. This is an interesting word. The word that Paul used here, in real strict definition, means without a mixture of evil, free from guile, innocent, and simple. Now that's an interesting word, isn't it? That's an interesting word. It is used three times in the Scriptures. One of them was in Matthew 10 and verse 16, when Jesus was preparing the disciples for what we call the limited commission. And he said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." In other words, while we are to be wise as a serpent is wise, were not to be construed as presenting harm like the serpent. And how are they supposed to see us? As harmless as doves. No threat at all. No threat. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, second occurrence of it here, Romans 16:19, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. That word translated simple in the New King James Version there is the same word translated harmless. What does he mean here by this? He means that whenever it comes to things that are evil, you are to be free from it, innocent of it. That's what he means. That's pretty simple to understand. But then, the third occurrence is, as you guessed, in our reading from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God. Well, how could we sum this up then? Well, we could say the definition would include the idea of being free from suspicion. In fact, one particular definition is to be free from any taint or suspicion of evil. That's another one. And to never be suspected of duplicity, i.e., saying one thing and doing another. We call it hypocrisy, too. People should not ever be caused to suspect us of that. And you remember what I said about what I thought was the number one problem with our effectiveness as Christians? Hypocrisy. And finally, and we can't dismiss this because it's part of it, that we not be perceived as having a potential for violence. In other words, harmless as doves. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Harmless as doves. Are we to be wise? Absolutely, we're to be wise. And as the serpent is perceived as being wise, and that's how Jesus used it, we're to be wise, but not a threat. Not a threat like the serpent. I think this is a very interesting, and frankly, I want to tell you, I've lived a lot of years, well, not as many as some of you. Some of you are old as dirt, you know. But anyway, but I have not really dug in to this word harmless before. This was exciting for me. In the course of this study, this was exciting to think about this. How do people see us? Do they see us as being a threat or a danger? Or do they see us as being harmless as doves? And that brings us to the question, why is it important to be harmless? Well, I think going back to what Paul said to Titus, the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Isn't that frustrating when somebody really wants to get you? And they can't think of anything evil to say about you? Well, surely there's something you can say. Well, not really. Not really. This is one of the main reasons why we are to be harmless and blameless. Now, how might we apply this to some in the world today who present themselves as being children of God? And I said, by the way, present themselves as being. I didn't say they were. I want you to remember this. What about those who are involved in the so-called pro-life movement? I want to stop here and say the aim of the pro-life movement, I agree with. But there are things about the ones involved in it that I find to be very bad. For instance, those who use intimidation, those who use harassment, and yes, in some cases, even violence to further their cause. How are these people perceived? Let me see, harmless as doves, or they put a threat. They're threatening, aren't they? They're a threat. Now, what are the chances of them being able to have any type of effective influence on those who might be of that mind? Because they see you as a threat. You're a threat to them. Now, I'll grant you some people are influenced by intimidation. But from my study of the Scriptures, I don't believe that we are given permission to use intimidation to try and further the truth. And I understand why. And I think you do too. If you intimidate somebody to conform to the truth, somewhere down the line, they're going to come to their senses and say, just a minute now, I didn't want to do this. They intimidated me into that. What am I doing here? And they're gone. They're gone. One of the most outstanding examples that I can remember in personal experience was when the large institutional church, Colorado Springs, brought in Ivan Stewart and his band of do-gooders. They're going to do a crusade for Christ, knocking the doors all over Colorado Springs. Wow! They claim to have baptized over 200 people in 1 week. It was just a steady stream to the baptistry. And in a month or two, they couldn't account for hardly any of those. You know why? Because they used intimidation. They used what I call high-pressure sales tactics. And their purpose was not to convert people to Christ. It was to get them in the water. But after those people had been in the water and came to their senses, they went, I don't want to be here. And they were gone. And by the way, I got this information from someone they did it to firsthand. This is not just hearsay. Firsthand. I don't believe that the Lord approves of that in any way. Any way whatsoever. I believe that though such efforts may be well-intentioned, they offer reasons for people to speak evil of those who call themselves Christians. And we should think twice about that. I believe that we should have the attitude that is exhibited by the Apostle Paul and mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. Did you hear that? If you study this carefully about Paul, you're going to find out that Paul would work as a tent maker to support his needs in order to preach the gospel to people who needed it. Because if he had gone in there and said, okay, now, y'all give me money and I'll preach the gospel to you, these people would have said, another charlatan, here we go again. And he knew that. These people that were idolaters were not accustomed to giving support to religious teachers like the Jews were. And he knew that would be a detriment to his cause. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. And another occasion here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this time. And verse 21, Paul says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Make sure that there's no chance for anything evil to be said. No chance. Why do we do this? So the name of God will not be blasphemed. That's why. Look at Romans chapter 3, or 2, verse 23. You who make your boast in the law, do you not dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of you. You claim to be God's people. You claim to have the law, and you don't even keep it. So what are you doing? You're blaspheming God's name before the people. And brethren, the same thing is true today of those who are under the law of Christ. There is no difference. We need to be sure that we as Christians do not make any opportunity for people to speak evil of the faith. And indeed, whenever we are not harmless as doves, there will be people speaking evil of us. And you say, well, yeah, you got all this idea of harmless here. This kind of boggles my mind. How are we supposed to be harmless as doves? Well, I think that there are some guidelines here, and I'm going to lay a few of them out as we bring the lesson to a close this morning. And I think reacting to evil the way Paul said that we should react is the way to be harmless as doves. And I bring up to evidence here Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now listen to verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Or be harmless as doves. That's it right there. We are taught by our Lord Himself to love our enemies. And whenever we do this, and by the way, the word love here is from that word agape, which literally means active goodwill. That's what it means. And Jesus says, whenever we demonstrate this in our lives, we prove ourselves to be sons of the highest. So as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Call it the golden rule or whatever you want to call it. That's how you can be harmless as doves without any question. Now, if our ultimate goal is to change the hearts of men, and it should be, then it must be done in accordance with the way that God has changed our own hearts. How? Through intimidation? Through threats? No. Through the gospel of love and sacrifice and mercy. That's how. That's how. If we are truly the children of God without fault, then what will we do? We will imitate our Heavenly Father's efforts by using love and prayer, the doing of good works, to change those who are still part of, here we are back to our beginning, this crooked and perverse generation. God is not willing that any should perish, Peter says, but all should come to repentance. That should be our goal. And we can't do it unless we are harmless as doves and blameless before man and God. By following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be not only blameless, but harmless and shining as lights in the world. And that's what our goal is. That's what the whole emphasis of this series of lessons is. To shine as lights in the world.